From the Gettysburg and 91.1 WZBT Gettysburg, I'm Ben Pons, and this is On Target.
I'm Gauri Mangala, and today on Target, we'll be talking to Ivana Lopez Espinoza, a student senator representing the class of 2019, regarding the state of diversity and inclusion on Gettysburg's campus.
Stay with us. And we're thrilled to be joined today by Ivana Lopez Espinoza, a member of the class of 2019, who's a student senator and works in the Office of Diversity and Inclusion. Ivana, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Ben. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you were recently appointed as a student senator representing the class of 2019. Could you talk a little bit about what made you interested in serving in that role and sort of your initial perceptions of student senate and perhaps specifically its commitment to diversity and inclusion based on your first few weeks in office?
Okay, so joining student senate was something that I have wanted to do since my first year, but always had to work several jobs because I just need to support and pay my own bills. So I didn't have the time or couldn't find the time to actually participate, which was unfortunate. And my work at the Office of Diversity and Inclusion focuses more on faculty and administration than students, but I do have the student perspective and I'll sometimes hear about student issues, but I never had that like firsthand experience with it. So when the email was sent out that they were looking for a class of 2019 senator, I immediately jumped on that because I'm taking a break from several activities this semester to focus on my capstone. And I had that time. I was available Mondays at 7. And then I had the luxury of being able to commit to committees. So knowing that I was able to do that was really the reason I jumped on board, because I had heard that Senate was going to be a little bit interesting this year, but I didn't necessarily know what that meant. So that's taking that opportunity to be that representative, especially with knowing that there's not too many different voices that are heard on campus. And I would say I'm pretty confident and comfortable talking about these issues. And if something needs to be addressed, then I'm not addressing it in a way that's incorrect or to make anyone feel bad. And if it does sometimes, I apologize. But it's more to educate those that are around and that person themselves.
Could you talk about some of the issues that you are working to address? And I know that on Monday in particular, we're recording this on Sunday the 28th, so I guess it would have been on Monday the 22nd that you were engaged in a dialogue with another senator about various clubs and how the senator had raised that they were concerned that there were a lot of different clubs representing a variety of cultures. I think this was focusing specifically on Asian cultures, but yeah, I know that you jumped in and had a lot to say about that. So could you talk first about sort of the general issues that you're interested in addressing as a member of Senate, and then maybe a little bit more about what you were discussing last Monday?
Okay, so general issues I'm interested in addressing. One, just the miscommunication between all of these different constituencies on campus. That was one of the first issues that I encountered, especially with college council. It was often referred to as another diversity committee, and it's fine because sometimes information gets like misinterpreted, and I do that too. Like it's just a human condition, right? So I was always hoping that every time it was brought up, that would change a little bit, but it never seemed to, like, the name College Council just never seemed to appear, right? Like, it was, and the definition and the way it was talked about just didn't seem right. And I'm on the Campus Climate Study Implementation Group, which is where that, like, idea was kind of born into, and we, like, put a lot of efforts together to draft something up for President Riggs. So I am fairly familiar with it, and it kind of upset me that it's just, you can just read a paper and all of the information is out there, and it was really hard to get that information spread out when it was just something that could have easily been solved. I don't know if I'm describing that correctly. And, like, sometimes you just don't have the time or you don't have the proper, like, resources to be able to do it. But that was definitely the first issue that struck my interest, I'd say.
Yeah.
And then with Monday's meeting, these aren't conversations that are uncommon. Like, these are conversations that our peers are having on a daily basis. I've heard several comments that, like, it was kind of risky to, you know, to just say, why not just clump these cultures? But I think that it was appropriate because now we understand that conversations like these are happening. And it's trying to find how and try to find that, like, intersection with students listening and making sure the information doesn't get saturated. So that's definitely another topic that I'm interested in because there's so much to learn, but if you have no interest, then you're going to feel as though you're being attacked. And trying to find how can we in the future better spread information and teach our peers without them feeling attacked or as though it's just another diversity lecture, another diversity conversation, you know, because diversity is, like, so broad and it's not supposed to be another one. This is a continuing process. Like, you're just learning and that's gradual and you're never going to reach the end because we don't have one yet. It's a step-by-step thing that even I work on. I work on my biases all the time. Like, there's nothing wrong with not knowing, and there's nothing wrong with just not yet being aware. It's wrong when you just choose to not pay attention or you choose to not listen or you choose to make it another conversation that you have to attend.
So in that meeting last Monday at Senate, after that discourse, do you think it was productive in the way of talking about addressing one's biases? Do you think that there's still conversations to be had specifically about, like, the clumping of groups and specifically of, like, the Asian clubs on campus?
Conversation didn't occur.
Yeah.
So let's address that first. We need to acknowledge that what happened on Monday was not a conversation, was not a form of dialogue. It was three people before me. Then I went in, another younger senator went after me. So it wasn't even a conversation. We weren't responding. I responded to the initial comment and so did the other people, but there was no dialogue. Was it addressed properly? No, because I have a time limit.
Yeah.
Can we do anything about that? No, I mean, we all want these meetings to be an hour long. Like, we all have other things to do. And because we have that mentality, we can't have these conversations. We can't have proper discussion where you can tell me more about what you misunderstand and I can tell you where I misunderstand what you're saying. Or it's all just a matter of, like, listening. And we don't. The nature of Senate doesn't allow for that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't allow for a proper conversation. And the fact that when I finished or prior to when I finished, President Arbaugh said, oh, like, this is a great discussion to continue with the diversity committee. But the conversation only continued after I brought it up. It wasn't brought up by anyone else. Like, I made a point to let them know that whoever is responsible of the committee should be voicing, like, this information, saying that we had these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, like, we just sat in silence until I brought it up because I mean, there was a small group, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
notes are still being taken. We still have to discuss, and we can note that this conversation happened, even if it was just one person talking to empty chairs.
So at mm-hmm. Diversity Committee. So at Diversity Committee that week, was it just you talking? Did people respond at all?
No one responded immediately. You know, it was just kind of acknowledged that this was a thing that happened, but there was also, it was clear that people didn't want to talk about it. Mm. You know, it was clear that this discussion was not meant to be brought up during the diversity committee. And those intentions, whether they know that they're visible to other people, is another conversation that I don't have any knowledge or can even go into because I don't know them. But from my perspective and from what I know that the conversations do continue, they should have initiated everything. Like, I'm just a student representative going and making sure that people's voices are heard. I'm not any form in charge of or even representing the diversity committee because I'm a participating voice. And the fact that it wasn't brought up immediately is kind of an issue because these are the conversations we're supposed to be having at this committee, right? Isn't that the point of all of these groups? Like, where's the statement that says that our purpose? Where's our statement of purpose? Like, I don't even know what half of these committees do. Like, I do, and I have a general idea, but it's like an aimless goal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So thinking about the diversity committee specifically, and you kind of just alluded to it right there, that it seems a little bit rudderless at times. What would you say that the goal of that committee should be? And, you know, it sounds like you whatever that goal is, it's not what you feel is being achieved there right now.
Okay, so I feel like the goal is not being achieved because we have no goal. I feel like the goal is to facilitate conversations among different student groups, which we often refer to and only acknowledge multicultural groups. And diversity doesn't end or begin at race. It expands further beyond. So just acknowledging that there's a huge umbrella that we can look at. We always focus on things that are prevalent on this campus, but just still not properly talked about. And I guess because it's one of like the bigger issues and multicultural clubs are very visible on campus, we do talk about them, but we can also talk about like sexuality and ability and all of these different things that Gettysburg College has been trying to do around diversity and inclusion. So I don't really know what the purpose is. I know it's to have discussion, to facilitate discussion on student issues, but also isn't that what Senate is? Opinions committee is to talk about issues. So if we're all just talking about issues and not really honing in on certain ones, then issues is just such a broad thing.
Right.
And I don't know if I would say and label some of these problems as issues because sometimes it feels like they're more than that. Like there needs to be another word because we are all, again, covering these like issues on campus.
Right. I was going to say issue, but now I'm afraid to use the term. I think it's fair to say that there is a healthy dose of skepticism surrounding President Nick Arbaugh's decision back in August or September to appoint Josh Gonzalez as the chair of the Senate Diversity Committee. I know that there have been some allegations of tokenism in that Josh is, like Nick, a member of the Young Americans for Freedom and some other conservative political groups on campus. Let me start by asking, do you share the skepticism that Josh was someone, is someone, and we'll get to in a second, was someone that should be leading that committee?
I want to start off by saying that I don't know Josh Gonzalez as a student. I know him as a Senate representative. So my relationship with him and my knowledge of his self extends and is limited by what I see Mondays and Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. So that is all I know of Joshua Gonzalez. I can talk about leadership in diversity. I'm everyone has the potential to do and to change and to fit a stereotype, right? Like, that's why they're stereotypes. That's why they're molds. That's why these are positions. Like, you can be trained to fit in a position. So in terms of diversity leadership, there needs to be some form of competence into what diversity is and what it means to lead and talk about diversity and inclusion. They're two different things. Diversity having the subgroup of like race, gender, age, ability, sexuality. There's several more that I can't think of off the top of my head, but there are subgroups, there are specific subgroups. Mm-hmm. Inclusion is the need and the strategy to make sure that all of these groups are coming together. So the word that's commonly used is intersectional, to making sure that there's intersectional conversations to better understand the different perspectives. So having that competence doesn't just come, like, you're not just born knowing, right? Like, it takes time. Just like if you're studying calculus, it takes time for you to study calculus. You need to learn basic math, like addition, subtraction, and then you need to go on further and go into, like, geometry or pre-trigonometry or whatever it is, and then continue your studies to, like, reach calculus. Yeah? Isn't that the nature of learning? So it's the same thing for diversity and inclusion. And a lot of students on this campus believe that being a member of a marginalized group gives you authority to speak on issues or to talk in a way that only you know what is right. And that's not true. I'm a Hispanic woman, but being a Hispanic woman doesn't make me knowledgeable on these topics. What makes me knowledgeable is the fact that I've been working at the Office of Diversity and Inclusion since my freshman year. I study sociology. I make all of my research papers with a focus on understanding marginalized voices, because that's what I care about. I have participated in several different, like, studies to see where my biases lie, like, what can I do to change it? Because I'm from Gettysburg. Gettysburg's really white. Like, I very much was not under the idea at all that, like, diversity was okay. Growing up, I suppressed my own Hispanic identity because I wanted to fit in. And now that I'm looking back, like, that's dumb. That was such a dumb choice. But that was the conversation that I was around all the time. So I didn't come in knowing. I don't know Josh Gonzalez's background. I don't know what he's been exposed to or what he does or, like, what he's doing to better himself or to even, like, gain more knowledge on this. But I know that sometimes the conversations feel as though they are left unanswered, or these questions just are coming from a surface level understanding of what diversity and inclusion is. And it's a matter of taking the time. We're all students, we all have a full plate, but if you're going to discuss something, you should probably know what you're talking about to a certain level of depth. I think you need to be able to talk about addition and subtraction and PEMDAS in order to solve your calculus problem.
Back all kinds of horrible memories.
Yeah, right? But just like that, you need to be able to talk about all of these subgroups.
Right. Do you think, you kind of mentioned and maybe alluded to this, but, you know, you mentioned that you didn't know Josh before, and still you really only know him from his work as chair of the Senate Diversity Committee. Do you think it's telling of sort of the qualifications that you talked about that a student such as yourself, who is obviously very active in conversations across campus on some of these issues, didn't know the student and had never met the student who the Senate had appointed to chair its diversity committee? Is that a problem in and of itself?
I don't know what Senate qualifications are to run a committee. I don't know if there's different qualifications to run opinions committee or public forum committee? Is that what?
Public relations.
Public relations, sorry. Or like BNC. So I don't know what it means to be a committee head. I don't have a list of qualifications or know what the requirements are, so I can't speak on that.
But you're a student who's interested in these issues, so thinking about that committee as the student's representative.
Right, so that's, yeah, so from what I know, I don't know. From what I know, I don't know. And it's okay to be in this position where I'm not going to talk poorly on Josh. He was appointed, and he's doing what he can to lead the committee in the best to his ability. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he knows what's happening or can facilitate conversation, my only impressions root from broad answers that involve like, yeah, okay, or they're scared of a cuff or whatever, and kind of dismissing answers. So that's what I can speak on, the things that if you don't really know a person, just like these surface level things, right, just how conversation is handled. So is he the qualified person? If you give me a list of things that they're looking for this candidate, then I can tell you if he's qualified. In terms of knowledge, I don't think we're all comfortable addressing diversity and inclusion. So that's a little bit hard to pick someone and to find a student who is willing to have these conversations already. Mm-hmm. And finding someone who has the time to make sure that these things are happening. So
And, you know, it's recently come to light that Josh plans to resign as chair of the Senate Diversity Committee. And so in light of some of the things that you've talked about recently, are there any particular people on campus that you think, you would like to see in a role like that? Or perhaps if not, if you could talk a little bit more broadly about what you think that the Student Senate Diversity Committee chair what types of conversations they should be leading and you know, to what extent maybe you'd be interested in the role, if at all.
Yikes.
Not to put you on the spot.
No, so this news of Joshua Gonzalez resigning as the head of the Diversity Committee is recent. It's new to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't come into this interview knowing or even thinking about the committee. I just came in thinking about college climate and what diversity on campus looks like.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll get to that part. In terms of finding a new head, we need to sit down and continue to fill in these requirements for this position. I don't know how long committees are going to be on campus, but I think defining these roles is important. Regardless of the people that are filling them in now, I think it's still important for us to have a conversation on what it is that the exec board on Student Senate is looking for, what the student body wants, as well as what the senators are willing to approve. Okay?
Yeah.
So defining the role. All of these committees are so different. So also defining the purpose of the committees, making sure that we're taking the steps necessary that we find the right person, because we often, and now I think the way we're going to look at this may be in a negative light, because the fact that you're asking me if I want to take over, the conversation's going to be turned around and it's going to be like, oh, he's resigning for pressures. He's just resigning for whatever reason. And in no, I'm sorry to hear that, because I feel like he has, we all have a lot to learn from each other. Mm-hmm. So I hope a resignation does not mean that he's going to stop coming. I hope he allows himself to open up to these conversations that we're having, to continue offering his perspective. Because sometimes I don't understand, and I can't understand, mm-hmm. right? I can't understand what the other person is thinking, because I have not, just as they're not familiar with the conversations that I'm having, I'm not familiar with the other conversations that are occurring. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us to have these discussions and to understand points of views. So I don't think it should be left up to whatever I say that we're looking for the head of the diversity committee. I think we have the Office of Multicultural Engagement, the Office of Religious and Spiritual Life. We have the Women's Center, the LGBTQA Center. I think we should all get together before a Senate meeting or when we have the time to add another thing to our plate to talk about what...
Everyone just sits on their hands on this campus.
Yeah, really. but seeing what it means to have a student diversity committee, understanding what it is that we're looking for, what are the issues that we're trying to address, and defining it that way. Mm-hmm. Will I be running for the head? So my colleague Larissa is leaving at the end of the semester, and the position of club's liaison is opening up. So that was the position that I was looking at to take. I can't just say that I am going to run for something, because I need to look at the time that I have. I am also a student. I am graduating this May. I have my capstone this semester, so my priorities lie in my academics. And as much as I want to keep representing, I will do what I can with the time I have available, because I need to take care of myself. And sometimes it means not putting myself in the speaker's spot, because that can be a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a lot trying to facilitate these conversations. So if the time comes to apply and I do apply, then great. If I don't apply, then great. You know, I will continue to have these conversations regardless.
Right.
And we'll be taking a short break.
Now it's time for the Bullet Report. As the fall sports season wraps up, it's been an exciting week in Gettysburg College sports action. The men's soccer team lost to Catholic 1-0. The volleyball team lost to Johns Hopkins 3-1. The field hockey team lost to Johns Hopkins 2-0. The women's soccer team lost to Johns Hopkins 1-0. We did a lot of losing to Johns Hopkins. The women's cross country team finished 6th of 10 at the Centennial Conference Championship. The men's soccer team defeated Ursinus 2-0. The field hockey team lost to Dickinson 2-1. The men's cross country team finished 6th of 9 at the Centennial Conference Championships. The women's swimming team defeated Bryn Mawr 132-68. The football team lost to Susquehanna 27-9. The volleyball team defeated Dickinson 3-1 in its season finale, and the women's soccer team fought Dickinson to a 0-0, or as they say, nil-nil conclusion in overtime. Thus endeth the Bullet Report. We'll be right back with the second half of our interview with Ivana Lopez Espinosa.
Yeah, and speaking of not sitting on our hands, over the summer, you and I both worked in Musselman Library for the Digital Scholarship Summer Fellowship, and you researched diversity in Gettysburg College, specifically like the history of the diversity story. What were some of your key takeaways from that research, and in your view, what does the college need to do from here?
Okay, so summer research was so much fun, Gari. There were days where it was really difficult, and having that, you know, that friendship there was great. So I want you to know that I'm thankful for you and supporting my project, because a lot of it has to do with support, right?
Yeah.
Just as when I got excited for finding out new conversations or that about new things that just occurred on campus that I wasn't aware of, you listened to me. When I got too excited about it, you were there. You're just like, yeah, you know, get it. So that was fun. Some of my key takeaways and the importance of this project are because I didn't see myself represented in the college narrative. Mm-hmm. So I guess we can say that the reason I wanted to continue it was a little bit selfish because I wanted to see myself. I wanted to see where I fit in terms of the college's history. What is it, what has been done before me and what can be done after me? The project was selfish because I wanted to see myself represented, but it was also a challenge that was given to me by the Chief Diversity Officer, Jean Arnold, who at her past institution had something like this done, had a public history project that was also conducted by students, but with the help of administrators and other people to understand like where that history lies. And we don't have that on campus. We have some notable events, like the fact that one of our alumni is Bruce Gordon. He was the president of the NAACP for a while. So he's pretty big, right? Because he's held a high position. Yeah. But we also have students like Buddy Glover, who became the first Black president or Black principal of his area where he now lives. And what he did on this campus was great, was beyond what we can understand, because I can only piece a timeline together based on the information that I have and that's available to me. So like that was really hard finding this information. So it often meant sitting behind walls of boxes in special collections, literally going page by page, reading everything that we have from these different presidencies to try to understand the narrative of diversity here at Gettysburg College. Now, what was a challenge was I wasn't focusing between the years of like 2000 to the present. I started from the establishment in 1832 to now. And not only was I looking at history of Gettysburg College, but the seminary is also part of us. So I like dove into that too. Key takeaways: the college has had a lot of different efforts, and just like other institutions, we've had several efforts that are just kind of scattered beyond until we find this like nice, comfortable plateau where we just keep steady for a little bit. But we've had spikes in the ways that we focus on diversity. Like the 70s was really big for diversity here on campus, but it was also pretty big around the nation. So we can see those parallels. In the 90s, student retention of students of color was low. So that retention was lower than it was when after students of color started to become more visible on campus. So those are some takeaways that right now we're doing really well statistically, but we still remain a segregated college. We still have these groups that are separated. And that's trying to figure out human socialization is kind of hard to make sure that we can like actually diversify, but we can make efforts to get people together. So the website itself just offers timelines, and it's in no way complete. Like, do not think you're going to get onto this site and know everything. There's a lot that, because time is limited, there's only 24 hours in a day, and I have human things I need to do. I haven't had the opportunity of getting everything up there because I also have student responsibilities. So this is a continuous project that, although I want to say it's done, that's why it's called a diversity story and not the diversity story. It's continual. It'll continue to progress. It'll continue to grow. The conversation changes every day, and everything is always we're going to have things that make this something longer than we can imagine. And whether or not my own history project continues, that's fine, but it's out there. It's a start. If anyone wants to continue it, be passionate. Know what this history means. I can only understand it through the student perspective and through my short time here at Gettysburg. But I continue to look back on it and reflect on several different things that have occurred on this campus, because it reminds me that maybe someday one person will add me to my own timeline, and I'm not going to do that myself. But maybe my voice one day will matter enough to be put on there, and that's what I want. I want another student who doesn't think they're represented to strive to find where they belong, to find a spot where they feel as though they are happy and comfortable and that this is their home, because they belong here. They made it here, and you deserve to see yourself represented. So,
right. Folks who may be interested can find that site. The URL is a little bit cumbersome. It's LOPEIV01. Which Gettysburg people will recognize as the chain for a student email, sites.gettysburg.edu/a_diversity_story. Or if you click around the Musselman Library website for long enough, you'll find a link to anywhere in the world, including this particular site where you can find Ivana's work, Gettysburg College, A Diversity Story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ivana, question for you. As we've been talking about all of this, and we've mostly been talking about, you know, what students can do. We talked a lot about Student Senate. We talked about your position and your research. For faculty and for administration, what is their role in guiding this conversation? How much of it is to listen? How much of it is to speak, in your opinion, as you've studied diversity and inclusion for 3 years here?
So, you know how we have this idea that adults just know stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
As I get older and as I learn more, things parallel between when you're young and you're older. So, the conversation on diversity and inclusion isn't great among faculty and administration, right? We see the same faces at the same events all the time, just like we do in the student body. We have students that are interested and students that actively seek out these opportunities, but seldomly know genuinely what's happening. And I think faculty and administration are in a different position, well, are clearly in a different position because they're not always understanding what student life is. Student life is so separate to what they see in the classrooms, to what they see in like office interactions, like meetings. So they don't know the student narrative. Mm-hmm. Their responsibility in facilitating extends to, I don't want to say that they're super responsible, but because they are the ones teaching us, I think they should be paying attention to what's happening. And it's hard because their profession has always been separate from students. Like, there's a difference between having like these degrees and being an undergraduate student, that sometimes when you have a degree and when you're a professor, like, you don't necessarily want to talk about student life. That's just not up your alley. That's not in your peripheral vision, or how you say it. So I wish that conversations would continue, but those people that are showing up, faculty and administration and support staff that are having these conversations and are trying to educate themselves, great, keep talking about it. Sometimes we're gonna have these uncomfortable interactions with people where we won't wanna address the situation, but everyone will be uncomfortable. Like, it's not just you.
Yeah.
So there's some comfort in this tension that occurs that we need to learn and not see as something bad, but just something that we don't know. I wish that more faculty administrators and support staff would contribute to the dialogue. But just as we know in the student body, you can only see and understand the conversations that you're around. And unless you choose to expose yourself further, then you won't know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's parallels. Mm-hmm. It's not any different.
Yeah. Well, we've been going on for almost 40 minutes, and I'm sure we could go on for several more 40-minute segments, but for the sake of time, I think we'll leave it there. Ivana Lopez Espinoza, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's On Target for this week. We'd like to thank Ivana Lopez Espinoza for being our featured guest today.
We would also like to thank the staff of the Gettysversion and the executive board of WZBT for their ongoing support in this project. Be sure to subscribe to On Target on Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
On Target is a joint production of the Gettysversion and WZBT. Our theme music was composed by Diego Rocha, a music major focusing on composition in the Sunderman Conservatory of Music. Be sure to join us next week. We'll have another interview and a wrap-up news segment from all of the second half of October's news on the Gettysburg College campus. Have a great week.